PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
Check 1, 2. Check 3, 4.
Sabado Gigante.
I don't have the song ready, so.
Oh, okay. So we're just assuming that it's playing right now.
There will be a song. I'm just gonna put in the theme song.
That's fine.
You know the theme song.
Yeah.
Dun 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 dun. RoboCop.
Wrong. Killer robot movie, Chris.
RoboCop. RoboCop.
Dun 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 dun.
He was a robot who was also a cop. Betty Dream was
there's a nice flash of titties right in the beginning of the movie.
Are there titties?
Yeah, when during the changing room. Right in the beginning of the movie. Right in the beginning.
Like, gratuitous but unsexy titties.
Yes, people gratuitous but unsexy, correct. Because all she's doing is what? She's taking her shirt's off, she's putting on body armor. Because she's about to get her ass kicked.
It's like Starship Troopers.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's like, well, except minus the one kind of sexy bed scene in Starship Troopers.
Starship Troopers does have a sex scene, yes.
Yes.
Does have a sex scene,
but it also
yes.
does have gratuitous, unsexy nudity.
Yes, it does.
As well. It's the whole co-ed shower thing.
The co-ed shower thing that Verhoeven seems to love so much.
I think it's very European.
He's like, yes. Yes, you Americans love your titties. So I'll give them to you
in
the
most
sexy way I can think of.
I mean, that's what it takes to get some titties. We just want our titties, man.
We just want our titties. All right, here we go. Cinema Crespediso Patreon show. Guys, we're talking about RoboCop. RoboCop 1987. We rewatched this recently. It's one of our favorite movies, respectively, growing up, right, I assume?
Yeah. I mean,
for me, I watched a lot when I was a kid.
I mean, you...
10 years old, 11 years old.
I didn't, quote, watch it a lot as a kid, but it was one of those movies. I mean, everybody had a copy of it on VHS.
Yeah, we had a copy. A dubbed, ripped copy somehow. That I remember the VHS itself, I wrote on the side of it, RoboCop in whiteout.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you can imagine that children's yes. handwriting, uh-huh. saying RoboCop.
In whiteout.
In whiteout. So, it's, all
so it's not even a pen. You're using a brush. So, you're basically painting the word right.
I painted word RoboCop.
RoboCop on the side with
yeah.
whiteout.
Yes, yes.
And that must, I can imagine how completely illegible that must have been.
Fortunately, it's a simple word. It's a very simple word. It only uses 1, 2, 3, 4 different letters.
R-O-B-O-C-O-P.
There you go. RoboCop. What a silly name.
It's great.
RoboCop.
But it's the greatest. Chris.
It's so simple.
Simplicity. It's all about simplicity. They make it simple, stupid people to gravitate towards it.
But RoboCop could so easily be like Wolf Cop or any of these like dumb, well, high concept.
They have.
Cheap B movies.
All of those things.
It's a B movie, but it's
even
everything that's about it is with the A approach.
The original RoboCop, very much, I would say, a class A 80s action title.
Yes.
Every subsequent RoboCop?
RoboCop 2, RoboCop 3.
all B-movies.
There's also...
including the weird Canadian ones that I found all over Amazon. And it's like, holy shit, there are a lot of these.
Yeah, there was like 3, 4, 5 of them.
Yeah.
And those are apparently not good. If you think RoboCop 2 and 3 are not good.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. That's a whoa to you on the Canadian one. Shout out to our Canadian. We don't have any Canadian patrons, do we? I don't think we do. Yeah. Okay, so some backstory on RoboCop then. So we both watched it as kids. I watch it a hell of a lot. I got
probably watched it much more than I did.
I rewatched my Criterion Collection DVD, so it's that unrated cut.
Yep. So you got a lot more blood than I did. Even though the version I got on Amazon, there were still it was still fucking Squib City, bro.
Squib crazy. Well, did it say that it was R-rated or was it unrated?
No, it was rated R.
It was rated R. Interesting. The I rewatched that on the DVD, and you said it was on Amazon?
Yeah, I rented it on Amazon.
Rented it because it's on streaming?
$2.
$2, yeah. So that's
not I could have bought it for $8.
That's pretty good.
And watched it at my leisure for the rest of my digital
that's
life.
That's pretty good. Digitally, you could have watched it. You could probably get it on DVD. Even
well, even you're watching it digitally on DVD, Chris.
That's true.
It's just, it's analog digital.
That's true. And the screen was smaller. It didn't fill up the whole screen. It was like, it was a small. Well, I was like, it's fine. It's still a smaller screen on like a 50 plus 60 inch TV. It's still like a 30 something inches. Yeah. When did we become such size screens with our TV?
It's since the bigger ones got really cheap. I mean, come on, Chris. When you can get a 65-inch TV for under $1,000, everyone's going to have one.
That's true. That's one of the details I liked about Elysium. Everyone was living in shitty ghettos, but then you walk inside someone's random living room and there's a flat-screen TV.
Yep.
Yeah.
Same thing here. I guarantee you go to the fucking ghetto, they probably got a shitty couch, probably haven't cleaned up much, they got a big-ass TV in their living room.
Big-ass TV they got at Walmart for like $200.
Yep.
Easy. Minimum.
Yeah.
Cool thing about RoboCop, I read about this, is how the writer Ed Nurmeyer or something like that, they named Ed 209 after him. Ed, he had an idea in 1981 after just seeing the poster for Blade Runner.
Yeah.
He was like, he has his friend, what's this movie about? And his friend goes, oh, it's about a cop who hunts robots. And that got his mind going.
He's like, robot cop?
What about a robot cop? Yeah. So he came up with an idea for like a computer program. That was like used for cop stuff,
so and like maybe went
sentient. Yeah, you know, something more along those lines. And he had a vague idea of what he wanted. He imagined very much in like the same similar world as Blade Runner.
This version of Detroit is kind of in that vein, at least with like the giant ominous buildings.
Yes,
and the ultra powerful corporations.
Yes, and the
It has those two things very much in common with Blade Runner.
It does have a lot going on. The dystopian future setting, and the classism for sure. You know, you got the people who are keying into their executive bathrooms, but then you got everyone else.
Exactly.
yeah, for sure. Then you got the people, the lady with the crazy blonde hair. Is that a wig?
I don't even know.
My hair is so crazy. He worked for a few years on trying to get that funded. Since he really didn't have a full idea anyway, he admits nothing happened to it. Then he met, I think the guy's name is Steve Miner or Mike Miner, a guy who's a music video director. And he had an idea for a story in which a cop, gets pretty much killed in the line of duty. And he uses that as a chance, or it's just like this. They use it as a chance to put like cybernetics in him and do like a $6 million man thing.
Yeah.
And so he's trying to figure out like a sort of a gritty $6 million man. So they met. They're like, oh, wait.
We both kind of have the same-ish idea, kind of.
Our ideas are pretty similar. Let's combine them. His story was called Super Cop. They turned that into RoboCop.
Yeah.
So that's how RoboCop, the idea, was born. That script ran around, hard to sell just on the title alone, RoboCop.
Yeah.
Paul Verhoeven saw it, and he was like, this is such a stupid title. It's like, immediately, it's some sort of dumb, what is this, a blob? It's a B-movie. This is stupid. He reads a script. He's like, no good. And he throws it away. His wife saw the title, saw the screenplay, was intrigued, read it. And she was like, oh, no, this is actually
not that bad.
This is actually a lot smarter than you think it is. Give it another read. Read it one more time. And he did. And he was like, okay, yes, you are right. My wife is much smarter than me. So that's how he ended up doing RoboCop.
Cool.
They shot it in Dallas.
Okay.
That's why those buildings, those crazy tall buildings, they shot it there because Dallas at the time was sort of looking like a futuristic city compared to other cities.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Little did they know what would actually happen to Detroit.
Oh, yeah. Man, they could have shot it for real there. And then And then actual Delta City, they're rebuilding Detroit. They're doing it.
Yeah.
They're actually doing Delta City. Cyberdyne's a real
company. I know.
Japan, it's, all these things are happening.
Yeah.
Rewatching it, again, I don't know how many times I've rewatched this movie. It's so... You know what's noticeable about it now more than ever?
What?
It's runtime. What's its runtime?
It's only 1:47.
Come on, man.
Yeah. It's not, it's real quick. It's nice and fast.
Goodness gracious.
And it's actually, it's paced like a proper movie, too, where, like, the first 30 minutes, it fleshes out who Murphy is, what kind of a cop is going on,
everything up.
What's going on in the city, and then,
the problems.
Boom, everything happens, and the next 1:15 is RoboCop.
It's just things happening.
Yeah.
Set up from the setup.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's so good. All right, so we're going to talk about it. Let's get into it. RoboCop starts.
Cold open again.
Well, before that, Orion... All right.
Yes.
Yeah. This is our first Orion picture. I think we're doing. Orion makes me
now
think
defunct
of
defunct studio.
Now defunct studio. Actually, it's a defunct studio who someone purchased the library. So and the trademark name. So some I don't know who it is. I'm sure we could easily look.
Somebody
this
has
up.
Orion.
Someone has it. So occasionally now, when you go see a movie, it will say Orion in front of it because they own the library and like
yeah,
it.
But
it's legacy.
But it's just the font logo, that Orion with the broken O.
Yeah.
And everything. It's not the
UHF, the Weird Al movie, is an Orion picture, and on the UHF DVD, Weird Al does the commentary, and when the Orion thing comes up, he sings over it in perfect Weird Al parody style, and he goes, Orion, Orion,
shit.
Orion is bankrupt. No, it's very funny. That's what I think of every time.
They just did Child's Play, Chris.
That's what I'm saying. See, so I think it's Lionsgate now owns the Orion library and the trademark and a name. So they throw it out there for certain movies.
They're doing Bill and Ted?
Mm-hmm. Probably because that was an Orion picture.
Yeah.
Isn't that great. Isn't that cool? So Orion's back. We can celebrate that by talking about their finest picture.
Well, I don't know about that. RoboCop.
Yes, cold open.
Cold open, just boom. RoboCop.
RoboCop. It just says that in that awesome font.
Yeah.
Right? And then it's the Detroit skyline. And it does what we're talking about with Spider-Man Far From Home.
Starts with the newscast.
Which is so awesome. Come on. How great... How smart of a way to get across information in a movie.
Well, that, and it's very, I mean, dystopian future, one of these things that they got right. It's called Media Break. They said, they'll give us, you give us 3 minutes, we'll give you the world.
Yes.
Like, that is where we live today.
It felt very right.
Yeah.
It felt accurate.
And they were talking about the Star Wars platform.
Yes. the orbiting peace platform. And there was a presidential visit that got, like, delayed because of a gravity problem. Then a quick shot of people in, like, a vomit comet or something floating around. So many details, so fast.
Little things, but they do that a couple times throughout the movie, actually.
It is, and it's almost impossible to keep up with it all. It's like, there's like, this is happening in Iran.
Well, no, exactly. Yeah.
And then they have the commercial for the
Nukem.
Nukem comes later.
That's so great.
First, they do the guy who's the heart surgeon, but he has like the new athletic edition.
Well, no,
like,
exactly. It ties into the whole like, this is how far we've come in human technology and cybernetics as well, because they have to build it up.
Yes,
they have to make it believable.
Can't jump straight to RoboCop.
Yeah,
you're proving that. Oh, it's a world where technology has gotten to a point where look at these crazy heart transplants. Yeah. They're selling them on TV. How far away do you think we are from that? From artificial limbs being sold just so openly like that.
I have a feeling that, I mean, yes, cybernetics are going to be a thing.
Yeah.
But the whole like artificial organs and whatnot.
Yes.
I don't think that's where we're going to be going.
Oh,
right.
No,
actuality.
We're actually going with like
us,
regrowing human tissue.
Yeah,
we're
going more of a, you know, biological version where we're going to be growing hearts as opposed to getting them installed.
Yeah, same concept but with a different material.
Yes,
not artificial material, natural, organic, bio organic.
Yes,
very Cronenberg-y.
That's where we're going to be going.
Okay, all right, very good. That's Drewster predicts this episode. Drewster predicts heart surgeries. All right, then we get to the news bit about dead cops, and now we got a whole bunch of pertinent exposition.
Well, yeah, about the OCP, how the police has been privatized.
Like, what the fuck, man? That's Blackwater. Yeah. That's
things that we are currently seeing. Seriously, I'm waiting to hear the day that the first city's like, privatized police. Because it,
no, it's already happened. I've read about like neighborhoods having like small towns where maybe the police departments are underfunded or whatever, and security forces get hired, and they like, you know. But it's always these really, really tiny towns where nothing happens anyway. But I've read about it happening on occasion.
Interesting.
But it does happen. We get introduced to Dick Jones. All right. Mm-hmm. Ronnie Cox. This guy is great. He's in the Beverly Hills Cop movies Bogomil, I think is his name. And what else is he in? The other Verhoeven. He's a Cohagen in Total Recall. Cohagen.
You're right. Yeah.
So now he's a bit of a Verhoeven regular.
Yep. He's a Verhoeven bad guy.
You know, it's also funny. He's in the very beginning of Deep Blue Sea. In the scene where he introduced Samuel L. Jackson's character, and they're talking—I forget who they're talking to—but they're doing a bunch of exposition in the beginning. Ronnie Cox is sitting in a chair the whole time, not saying a word, and Samuel L. Jackson is standing behind him, doing all the scene's heavy work, and then you never see Ronnie Cox again.
No,
so he had stuff cut out for sure. Anyway, but he's in this. He's Dick Jones, and they also throw Clarence Boddicker in there as well. They have like a mugshot of him. They talk about him being out there. So
we see Red Foreman for the first time.
We see Red for the first time. God damn it, Clarence Boddicker. He apparently went out for the role of Dick Jones.
Okay. Because I can see that.
At the time, he was never he never did a role like Clarence Boddicker before. But someone.
Which is surprising because he did a damn good job.
Yeah, exactly. Whoever was casting. I mean, this is my introduction to him. So now when I see him, no matter what role he is, I think this guy's fucking scary.
Yeah,
like this guy's.
Well, no, exactly. Which is crazy. When you watch that '70s show, you kind of see that part of him.
Like, yes, always.
That's a part of Red.
I see that always. Like Red is like the 2 seconds and the away screaming from snapping into yes, yeah. Yes. He could play the nicest guy now, and I'd be like, no,
a
trick. Why is he happy? He must have got some good.
Why is he happy? He must have done something very bad recently.
He got some good coke or something. Son of a bitch.
Or maybe he sniffed some wine.
What the fuck was up
with that?
The guy drinks it. Was that like a power move? Like
I don't know what that was.
You're going to try to ruin my wine? I'll still drink it.
He did the same thing with the cocaine. He just took his two fingers, put it in there, and goes, and then he did it with the wine too. And I'm like, what the fuck?
The coke makes sense.
Yeah, no, exactly.
The wine was like I'm an alpha you. And then the dude picked it up and was like, I'm going to still drink it.
I'm an alpha you back. Uncle shit.
It's like, Frankie, blow this cocksucker's head off. All right, we jumped way ahead. Yeah, we jumped like 2 pages ahead. Dude, it's still the news, and they jump all this information on you. It's almost as if they respect the audience. They think you're going to be able to keep up with all this stuff. Yeah. Police station. Murphy transfers in. We're meeting Alex Murphy.
Wearing his fucking Buckaroo Banzai t-shirt from the last movie that he forgot to take off.
Was he really?
Dude, it looks like it.
I did not notice.
That shirt is fucking...
It would have also showed up in the whole outfit, the suit with the tie askew and the guitar strapped to his back.
No, I think it was just the shirt.
Like, Buckaroo reporting for Metro West. Like, Buckaroo, where are you from? Galaxy South? Murphy's like, I'm transferring from Metro South. And he's like, well, you know, he makes it sound like it's the opposite of Beverly Hills Cop. Makes it sound like he's a Beverly Hills dude coming to... Axel Foley's backyard, you know. He's like, this is gonna be a lot harder. Murphy, what's that guy's name? That's Sergeant. That guy's great.
Yes,
he's throughout it.
I've got the IMDb right.
Yes,
here.
Awesome. Thank you, Drew.
Sergeant Duqui, Doqui.
All right, so that's why they just call him Sarge.
And then, that's his name. That's the dude's name. He played Sergeant something.
Robert Duqui played Sergeant Reed Duqui.
Duqui?
Robert Duqui?
I think it's his name.
Well, he played Sarge, and he's awesome.
Yeah, he's great.
And he welcomes Murphy, and then this is the whole thing where you get a little bit of titties via co-ed
locker rooms. Unsexy titties.
Unsexy titties. Verhoeven loves his co-ed locker rooms, man. Yeah. It's this and
Starship Troopers?
Starship Poopers. He's got everyone just like going about their business. Also, he does a great... sorry about that. He does a great... almost Robert Altman thing where it's like a lot of characters and a lot of conversations. They almost overlap over each other.
Yeah.
And it's like three different conversations going on, but all feed into the same thing. So you got these guys. It's really following one guy who's yelling about how we got a strike.
Yep.
And
that actually comes through later and again at the very end of the movie.
That's a running thing when they talk about the dead cops in the newscast or like the police are threatening the strike. And then he's walking around like, man, I'm telling you, this is fucked up. What they're doing? Because he's complaining about OCP, like, you know, cutting funding and everything. And, you know, Murphy wonders why he got transferred over there. It's obviously because...
We all get that shit We actually get all that. That gets told to us by Miguel Ferrar after all the awfulness.
Nothing in this movie is
like 20 minutes later, we get that information.
Like, nothing is left as a mystery. You know, you get all this stuff, all these threads, all this info, and then it all pays off at some point sooner or later. It's, man, that's good. It's really good. Just where he gets someone asking, where are you from? And he says, whatever. And then he goes, welcome to hell. Mm. Like, oh.
There are a lot of one-liners like that in this movie.
Yeah, and then so the guy's like, what we do is we go to strike. And says that just as Sarge shows up.
Yeah, and everyone's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, the classic, like, he's right behind me, isn't he?
Yeah, no, exactly.
you might as well have said that, right? but Sarge shows up. He's like, we're not. This is when he says, we're not plumbers.
Yeah.
Like, police don't strike.
We don't strike. We're civil servants.
Man.
I gotta go take this dude's nameplate off because he's dead now.
Yeah, awkward timing. Talking about striking when they're, like, replacing a dude's nameplate. Taking all his shit and talking about, like, the servers are gonna be this time. Blah, blah, blah. And we're not plumbers. Man, remember that plumber strike that happened at one time? That was do plumbers strike?
I don't know.
They don't go on strike. This is where Murphy and then Sarge introduces Murphy to his new partner Lewis
as she's beating the shit out of some suspect.
Great scene. It's awesome how he like takes advantage and knocks her down, and it's like, oh shit, like, does this weak little lady need some help? And then Lewis gets up and whips this, this punk dude's ass. Nancy Allen is the actress, right? Mm-hmm. I believe. Do you have the IMDb in front of you? Yeah. Can you look that up? I think it's Nancy Allen. She is the young call girl. She's the young call girl who got set up in Blowout, the John Travolta movie.
There we go.
She also plays another call girl in a Brian De Palma movie. So she does a lot of those type of roles in the early 80s. But here she's playing like a sort of butch cop.
Mm-hmm.
And I think totally pulled it off.
I mean, yeah. She whoops a bunch of ass. She blows a dude up like straight up. Just blows him to shit the end.
Fucking
so.
Leon. Ray Wise. I think she's great in this. So they meet, and I think they got good chemistry, I think, right away. It helps that they do, because then you feel it when he dies later.
Yes.
Murphy and Lewis are like getting along. The whole bit about he's like, I like to drive when I'm breaking in a new partner, even though he's the new guy, right? She does a nice bubble pop at this point. She really works at chewing gum. It's good stuff. All right, now we get to OCP, and we really get to meet all our bad guys. We meet
Ed 209.
It starts in the elevator. Oh my god, it's it starts in the elevator with Bob Morton, Miguel Ferrer.
Yeah,
you mentioned him already. Great voice. Rest in peace, Miguel Ferrer. Johnson is the black dude who later
Felton Perry.
Later he goes does this great Go Robo part when Robo. It's so funny. And then Mr. Kenny, who's the twerp that they keep referencing.
Oh yeah,
That curly haired guy, which I think that was a toupee.
Probably.
On this rewatch, for some reason, never bothered me before, but this time I was watching it, I was looking so hard, I was like, I'm almost positive that's a toupee. The other great thing where they're going up, and they're talking about some office politics, and Dick Jones, and they're saying, you know, Dick Jones wants to show off his Ed 209 series, obviously setting up the corporate rivalry and all that stuff, mm-hmm. and it's fun how, even as a 10-year-old, 8, 9, 10-year-old kid watching this, I still understood the basic dynamics of this. Like, one guy had a program, another guy has a rival program. When it fucks up, he steps in.
And he's like, hey, let's check out my shit.
It's not complicated at all, no. You know, but it still just works. Board meeting. This old guy, whoever it is. They even call him Old Man. Doesn't even have a name. I don't think he's credited with the name. He's just old man.
Old man.
It's like he's the old man who runs OCP.
Yep. The old man, actually.
The old man.
Yeah.
The old man's uncle live forever. He's doing a bunch of shit about whatever his rah-rah stuff. I thought it's time to give something back. There's that time when Bob starts clapping at the wrong moment, but he claps so hard, he forces other people to do it. Dick Jones gets to get up. He gives his presentation. We got the great bank of monitors with the, it says like, military, security.
Look at all these people watching.
Yeah, missiles going off and stuff. It's so random. And this one introduces that 209. Right? What's the future of law enforcement for Delta City? Also has the model of Delta City over there, which comes into play. Ed 209 comes out looking amazing. The sound effects. There's some great stop motion stuff where at least one shot of it on the side in the background, like the table that's on the side of the wall, it's a tiny table. Like, this is a great miniature shot. But most of it seemed like compositing.
Yeah, it mostly was.
And then they also had like a life-size one that they could then like have on set there, which should look good, obviously, mm-hmm. when you light it. So, I mean, classic scene. Everyone knows about this scene.
Of course.
Pulls up Mr. Kenny.
Pick up the gun.
Gives him a gun out of a case, a crazy gun out of this awesome case.
Big old fucking, looks like a chrome 44 Magnum.
It's like that thing. I don't think Mr. Kenny's ever shot a gun before. That thing's going to break his wrist. Obviously, he's not supposed to shoot it, but that thing would send him through the window.
He still gets put through the window, Chris.
Someone gets put through the window. He's like, all right. He's like, use the gun. He points at him. Like, don't point it at me. Point it at 209. Mm-hmm. Everyone laughs. Ha, ha, ha. Like, we're all having fun here. Points it at 209.
You have 20 seconds to comply.
It growls like a lion.
Yeah, it's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, that's scary. He drops the gun. It leans in forward. And
you now have 15 seconds to comply.
Everyone immediately starts freaking out.
Like, oh, shit!
Yeah, the scientists are like pulling the cables. Like, fuck, fuck. I love how they're all just freaking out immediately.
I love how immediately he starts running into a group of people.
Yeah, like, protect me. Well, maybe it won't shoot if I'm surrounded. And they push him away at the last second.
So far.
Dick Jones has a great, like, wide circle around the back.
He's like, I know what's about to happen. I'm going to get over here now.
Yeah, eyes wide. He's like, fuck, this is not good. This is not good. It's like counts down. What does he say before? He says something before he comes. Oh, I've not authorized to use lethal force or something. Then super loud guns, insanely loud.
With fucking Squib City. Dude, everywhere. Man. So much red corn syrup. It was like his entire body must have been covered in squibs.
His whole body must have covered in bruises.
After the squibs going off.
All those explosions going off. It is wild. And the commentary track they have on the Criterion, they mentioned that they did it a couple times, and Paul was like, no, I need more blood. more blood. And so then they went crazy, and they rigged his body with, when I was on the table, they rigged him with like...
Dude, it looks like he had an entire chest piece of squibs.
Yes, well, they just put red balloons on him, and then they were just, so that was huge burst to be ridiculous, and then Paul's finally like, yes, that is very good. And this, on my Criterion, I wonder, so it wasn't this way when you watched it, maybe you didn't notice, I'm almost positive, it's when he's getting shot, there's a few seconds when he's standing there and getting shot, and then when he's on the table and he's getting shot, that the sound drops out.
No, I don't know, I'm not sure I was paying attention.
On the DVD, the sound for sure drops out at those moments, for a total of like maybe 3 or 4 seconds, I think that's what they re-put back in, for the unrated, the X-rated cut, the Criterion.
More blood.
More blood. The stuff that they had to cut out to keep it.
I mean, it was already Squib City.
It was wild. It's so wild. It's insane. Also, a great shot of when they finally do shut it down. When it shuts down. Wide shot. Boardroom. One guy. What does one guy yell? So I want to call a paramedic? No, what's going on? Goddamn paramedic. Like, what's that going to do, dude?
Nothing.
Paramedic. It's just like in the guy yells medic in Starship Troopers. We're gonna make a lot of comparisons to Starship Troopers.
Oh, both pop right.
The Ed 209, it's in the corner and the smoke is coming out of its guns.
Yeah.
And then everyone's freaking out and the body's on the table. Like, that's a fantastic. And
that's when Miguel Ferrar's like, yo.
Yeah, he sneaks in. Well, first the whole time the old man just he never got it from the table, the old man. He's too old to get up.
Fuck. He's like, he's too old and too rich.
It's like, this is the fourth board member this year we've lost to
an Ed 209
to a corporate accident. He does have that kind of attitude. He's like, yeah, because he's just like, this is going to cost us $50 million in insurance payments. Like, that's all he's thinking. Huh? He just cares about the insurance payments. But like you said, Miguel comes in.
He's like, yo, I got the Robocop program. We've already started the police restructuring. There are prime candidates in place.
Police restructuring, yes.
And prime candidates in place. You know what that means? That means they took the best cops, put them in the shittiest situation one of them would die.
So one of them would die. Because the idea being, obviously, it's an eye malfunction because of the dumb robot. Mm-hmm. You get a human brain in there. It can make those decisions and react better, et cetera, et cetera. You know, fun sci-fi stuff.
Exactly.
Back in the elevator. It's like, man, be careful with Dick Jones. This guy doesn't like, you know, being fucked over. He sort of just kind of fucked him over, like right there.
Miguel Ferrar's like, fuck that old man.
Yeah, fuck that dude. Fuck that guy. He sucks. And then he says, when do we start? As soon as some poor schmuck volunteers, cut to
Lewis and Murphy.
And Murphy spinning his gun. And they explain the TJ laser thing and all that, which is very cute and works as a good visual thing for Lewis later.
Well, yeah, and it also works great for RoboCop. He looks awesome twirling his gun like a fucking old school cowboy.
Man, when you're a kid, I spent so much time twirling fake guns as a kid. Trying to like, how do they do it? Oh, it's so incredible. You notice the weird square coffee cups they had that Lewis walks out with and hands them? The cups are square.
I didn't notice that.
They're like square future cups.
Okay.
It's like just a weird weird future detail.
Uh-huh. Well, it's the future, Chris.
It's a future. It's a future.
That's why all the cards look so weird.
Yeah, everything looked just a little weird.
And we have the 6000 SUX.
Yes. Which, did we already show a commercial for that? No, not yet.
No, I don't think so.
No, I think we did. Maybe there was a 6000 SUX commercial. Maybe I didn't write it down. We'll see. Then we get to, so they have their little bit of a banter together. They get a call coming, robbery, blah, blah, blah. Cut to the van. We meet the gang.
Yep.
Right?
The baddies.
We got Clarence already. We know about him. Emil's the red-headed bald dude.
Yes.
We got the black guy, Shades.
Mm-hmm.
And Asian guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Ming, something like that. And then there's two white guys. Oh, well, then there's Ray Wise, dude who gets blown up at the end. The dad from Twin Peaks.
Yes. Leon.
Leon Nash. And then there's two white guys who are very, very disposable.
Yes. And we find out why very soon.
So one of them is the reason why the money's burnt.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So they're freaking out about the money being burnt.
Yep.
And then when they get into the shootout with Murphy and Lewis.
He gets shot in the leg.
So then they're just like, can you fly, Bobby?
I was just about to say, that's the fucking one-liner. Dude, so many one-liners like that in this movie.
So good. Clarence is so good when he reads, when he does that line
and
to him.
And then he just picks him up and throws him out the back right onto Murphy and Lewis's car.
Fucking great stunt, like right through the windshield that looked awesome. Then there's also a funny bit where Murphy's like, it's like, give me your gun, and he's leaning out the side, and they kick open a door to shoot, and they're just
and they're shooting at nothing
because he's off to the side.
Yeah, he's like, ha-ha.
Man, these guys, these cops are
because remember, he's a smart cop.
They are. Both of them. They're both good cops. So we lose one guy. That white guy said. They go to the old mill. Cops follow them. They get to the old...
Backup's unavailable. Remember this,
backup's
Chris.
Unavailable.
They've called for backup twice, maybe three times by this point, and it's always, nope, won't be going to be there for 15 or 20 minutes.
Now, this is a bit of a... Now, here's the thing. The movie moves so fast that you don't notice these things until you break it down like this.
No.
But they're in a cop chase. The cops don't lose them enough that they don't lose them at the old mill. They know they're at the old mill. But the bad guys get there in enough time
to chill, move around, yes, find their cool spots, like, do their thing.
They're three or four groups. One of them already sat down, he puts on the TV. It's like, I'd buy that for $1. Yep. We get that guy.
So
right
they already there. Got away, they think?
They think they got away, but our two cops show up, Murphy and Lewis, and they're there. And like you said, no backup available, so what do you want to do? It's like, let's go.
We're going in.
They go in, they split up. She finds Shades. He's taking a big old piss. Big old vitamin yellow piss.
He uses a really good line. Once again, one of these quippy one-liners, Chris.
It's like,
he turns around and asks, you mind if I zip this up?
Mm-hmm.
She looks at his dick and then gets punched in the face.
And I like how it takes a second, too, where they're like staring at each other, staring, and then she looks down. Like, oh, Lewis.
Gotta watch out for that.
Like, why'd you looking at it? You had to look right at it.
Yep.
Gets punched, knocks off a platform, knocked out. He looks down, laughs.
He did. He's not very Joker laugh the whole movie.
He does. He's a laugh. He's a happy guy. He's a happy guy having a good time. What's his name?
Hang on.
Cox. Dun, Jax. Dun, 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 Jinx. Jeremy. Abraham. Smokey.
Joe.
His name is Joe.
Joe.
No wonder you can't remember his name. You got Clarence. You got Leon. Emil.
Joe.
Second disposable guy gets blasted by Murphy right by the TV, right? He goes for his gun. Murphy kills him.
Yep.
Emil goes for his gun. He's like,
Murphy's like,
gives him the drop.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
Gives him the dead or alive, you're coming with me. Peter Weller's already got a weird voice. And then, like, so then when he robo cops it up later, it's
we'll dead or alive, you're coming with
dead
me.
Dead or alive, you're coming with me. All right, here we go. Yes. But then they get the drop on Murphy because Lewis is knocked out. He's like, Lewis, come in. She's not coming in, obviously. Everyone shows up at the same time. Murphy's fucked.
Oh, completely.
Probably, man.
One of the most...
This has to be worse than the Kenny scene because at least it looks like Kenny dies pretty quick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I mean, in all reality,
Murphy suffers.
Murphy doesn't even really die until he gets to the hospital, and he gets a fucking bullet through the dome.
Correct.
Blows out the back of his goddamn skull.
How did he? Yeah. So then, how could they use his brain? Man, they clipped a part of their brain. It's like, ah, this is a part of their brain that manages boners. He's not gonna need that anymore. Oh, he shut the boner sector. Oh, thank God for that. Because we're not going to.
I mean, you guys saw.
Imagine this robot with a boner. That'd be bad.
You guys saw Tatsuo the Iron Man, right? We're not going there.
We're not. We're not going there. You're closer. Can you grab me? Can you grab me a drink from the fridge, please?
You keep talking about how they're about to blow Peter Weller to bits.
Well, first they have that great bit where Clarence, they harass him and tease him, and he's like, "You a good cop? What is he calling me? You a good cop? Hot shot? To the left, to your left." Yeah, Texas left. Miami left. And he's like, you a good cop, hot shot. And hits him on the back of the leg, the old
shotgun baseball bat.
To get him, get him on his knees. And to get him on the ground, puts his foot on his arm, and hits him with the, we got a problem. Like, cops don't like me.
I don't like cops.
That affected me when I was a kid, man. Yeah. The whole, like...
Like, where's he gonna shoot him?
Like, oh, boy. And it's going to his hand. Blast his hand off.
Gone.
When he saw it, was there this shot of Murphy, like, he leans over and he grabs his stump and the blood's just
oozing out?
And
yes.
And it is like a...
And at that point...
You can sort of tell, like, it's a plastic stump.
Well, yeah, but still, it looks gross as hell.
It does look really... There's so much blood.
At that point in time, what does Clarence say, Chris? Come on.
Light them up, boys.
No.
What does he say?
Give the man a hand.
Give the man a hand. He's such a funny dude.
Because he just blew it off.
He's such a funny guy. Yes, and then he stands up. They line up with shotguns, mostly. Almost all shotguns,
yeah,
right?
All shotguns, yeah.
And they shotgun him away.
First, they take off the arm.
Emil takes off his arm. Clean
off.
With one shot.
Yeah. And at that point in time, I'm like... Okay, this is going to be a lot more Jesus. Bloody than I remember, but then it's just Squib City on his chest and torso.
And then it's funny because he's screaming, the whole time. No. But they shoot him for so long that he like runs out of breath and he's screaming. So then he goes, and then he's like, and then those are little small ones in there, and then screams. It's very...
Like, well, the
absurdity of it.
Yeah.
He's still... He at least drops to his knees, but he's like he's leaning forward and he sits
and he's still breathing.
And he's still breathing and moaning and they're all like shit. I'm out of bullets. Laughing guys, it's like shit. That guy's so funny, Joe. And like Clarence, this guy's still alive. And so he's just like, all right, playtime's over, boys. And pulls out a gun. Amazing shot. The camera, the way it pans around. And it times out with the squib going off on the dummy head, and you see it blow out from the back.
Yeah,
and then the shot of Peter Weller's head like dunk, like for real, like dunking on the ground. Man, it's edited together so well.
Yeah, and it looks like they did an entire dummy head of Peter Weller's head.
Yes.
It looked very much like right before. The aliens transformed in the thing. Because it's all practical effects. I wonder if it was done by the same company.
Rob Bowden. Drusa Cogburn. The bell's over there. If you want to ring it, you got to go across the room.
I got it right.
Rob Bowden. I can tell. Pretty fresh off of working on the thing.
I was about to say, you can. He has a definitive style.
I guess so.
That I can notice.
Is that pretty amazing?
No.
That's amazing. Good stuff there. Yeah, he came in to do the suit. And pretty much most of the special effects for RoboCop.
So apparently I could tell.
Yeah. You sensed the boat in this.
Yeah.
Great shot of Lewis. When they leave, she rolls up and it's another overhead shot and it's just viscera all around him. Yep. And she's crying. She's like, oh, Murphy, I'm so sorry. Because she was the one who was like, yeah, let's go in. Yeah, let's do this. Helicopter. They actually got out of the helicopter. They went for it. They tried to save his life. This dude, I can't believe they tried to save his life.
Well, his heart was still beating, Chris.
God damn, his heart.
Somehow.
Electrical impulses, that type of thing. ER scene, very... They must have got real doctors for this. The way they were all so flat.
Yes, no. Real doctors and also the, once again, the prosthetic body that was all shot to shit. They were fucking putting stuff in and whatnot.
And zapping and stuff.
The way his... torso was actually put into that. It was very, I thought it was very impressive.
It was very well done.
It was some good special effects work.
Weller did some good dead face.
No.
He's just like, yep. Staring, it's hard to do.
Yeah.
That's hard to do.
Well, I mean.
My eyes will be moving. I'd be breathing.
Seriously, sometimes the way he talks, and after RoboCop, you know, what was that series on National Geographic he did where you're like, oh yeah, I forgot he's like a paleontologist too.
Yeah, he's a weirdo.
But he still talks in RoboCop voice.
Always.
So he might actually be dead inside.
He may be. That's why. It's like, just lay down here. They declare him dead. It's like, what's a time of death? I love this doctor, man. He's like, time of death, 209. All right, what's for lunch? Here we go. Meatball subs. All right, come on. General Hospital's on pretty soon. I can't wait to see what Claire's going to do. Like, damn, this guy's just ruined.
Well, yeah.
Faith of Black, he's dead. Wake up.
TV wake up, Chris. It's
screen turns off.
80s digital, so.
But it is. So can you think of, Aliens is before this, I think, by maybe a couple of years. Okay. I think Aliens, God. Or maybe it's right on the same time. I'm trying to think of an earlier iteration of the heads-up display. Terminator is, so Cameron is the first one probably doing heads-up displays.
Yeah.
Verhoeven, the second person to do, go heads-up.
Yeah.
Give you a screen, information's on it, you're getting a POV.
Yeah.
We got to it a lot, and it's effective all the time.
Yeah, especially when you finally, like an hour later when you see the thermal vision.
Yes, which is only used once.
Yeah.
Come on, man. You establish thermal vision, you only use once. It's a very Predator of him. But then he wakes up, they screw on the screen, the great part where the grid comes down, and as they screw it in, like the grid gets closer and closer, and then you don't even notice it anymore. And then it shuts off, turns back on. They do a whole bit about a, like, why does he have an arm? We were able to save the arm. We were able to save the left arm.
Why?
They were so excited about it.
He's like, why? They're like, why?
Why?
We don't. I thought it was totally cybernetic.
What is it called? Yeah, Bob's like, I thought we wanted full, total body prosthesis, something like that. And then they have a little bit of a debate. It's like, well, he signed the contract, technically. And he's dead. Yeah. Technically, you do whatever you want. Bob's like, lose the arm.
All right, well, send him for surgery.
He's so callous about it. Yeah. And then they're like, God damn it, all right. What were they thinking? And then so what? They save an arm. Who cares?
And then
They kept... they shut it down. They kept his arm in the RoboCop remake. So
stupid. Kind of one of the worst parts of that movie.
Dude, this is what we'll do different. It's we'll like, keep the
and
arm.
And hand.
Hand.
He's like, robot, face, hand.
Hand.
Why?
So it can be blown off in a battle?
Which
never happened. It should have happened. His hand should have got destroyed. HUD turns back on. Zoop. We get the...
News party.
No, first we get the arm demonstration. Yes, that comes first. Where
I think it might have come second.
No, it comes first.
Okay.
Because first we get the arm is up.
Yeah.
And
screw on the arm.
And he does the handshake.
Yeah.
Right? And it crushes his arm. He's like, you're going to be a bad motherfucker. And then we get the New Year's Eve celebration where he just turns on. Because he's like, oh, look, he's watching us. Should have been an indication of them. Like, there's something wrong with this if it just turns on like that.
And then some drunk lady kisses him.
The main scientist lady with the big blue glasses. Mm-hmm. Man, she looked cute. I love those glasses. Kisses them. Everyone's like, ooh. She falls back drunk. Shuts off.
She's drunk.
Turns back on. Shoop, covered in plastic. Now we got some sort of presentation going on. Bob's giving a speech. Whips the plastic off. It's like, ladies and gentlemen, introduce to you, RoboCop.
And it's a POV view of, for the first like 30 seconds, just him watching.
Yeah.
You don't actually see RoboCop.
No.
Unless you look, there's, while he's walking, if you look on the left, there is a single monitor that has a camera where you actually see what he looks like.
You see a profile shot of him passing through. That's genius. That's like next level layering in terms of, man, it's so good how they do that. And this is where then Johnson, the black dude with the glasses, he leans in, clapping, he's like, go Robo, like right in his face. Like, this isn't a sporting event, you idiot. You're monsters. You created a monstrosity. You're like, go Robo.
Scientists don't know they create monsters until much later in the game.
And then the corporate part of that equation, they don't even care anyway.
No, the corporations already know what they're doing. They just don't care.
They're the monsters, I think is the point of the movie.
Yeah.
They take him to the station at... This is the first time I ever noticed this. They take him to the station to get set up, and they take him there at night. I think that's on purpose. Like, oh, we're doing the cover of darkness on here.
They don't want people to see.
This one, we get our first bit of robot voice, the RoboCop voice, when the lady says, when you are, they take him into the station, take him out back. People are like, what the fuck? The cops are running. Yeah. Like, what is this? And
you will sit in the chair.
when you were at rest, you'll sit in the chair. And he goes, yes, I understand.
And that's when we that's when we learned that RoboCop eats baby food.
Yes. Rudimentary paste is and, what it's called. And then he tastes it. He's like, it tastes like baby food. And then he goes, he's like, have at it or whatever. He's like, enjoy it or something.
And then we learn about objectives 1, 2, and 3, and then the classified objective 4.
Yeah, like, ooh, that's not going to come into play later. Also, I do like how before that they do the targeting grid, or is like, and they're also doing playback. Yeah. He's like, give me playback. It's so kinetic. There's a lot going on. Then we get the prime directives. Bob's like, what are your directives? And what are they? I didn't write them down. I know the third one's uphold the law. Protect the public.
First one's something about the public. Second is saving the innocent.
Protect the innocent. The second one's protect the innocent.
Yeah.
Serve the public.
Serve the public. Protect the innocent,
Uphold the law.
Uphold the law and classified. But he doesn't say that. We just see it.
Yes, I understand. Oh, man. I love that. Yeah, so Prime Directive, Director 4 is classified.
Yes. That's when we go, something bad's going on here.
So between when he shows up, I like how when he shows up, all the cops, like, they bunch up together by a doorway. And then even one of the perps that they have there, handcuffed, he's even leaning in, like, his mouth is open. Like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is this thing? And we, at this point, also, we only see it through the the cloudy glass, you know? So you get like an obscured version of him, which is cool. Gun practice.
You mean when they drop the name Super Cop?
Yes.
Super Cop and his fucking gun.
Yes. that lady goes, it's Super Cop to Ann Lewis. I wrote that down. It's Super Cop.
No, so did I.
I love how she said that. And then is that thing shooting 3.5 bullets? What is that thing?
Yeah, it's definitely a semi-automatic pistol.
It secretly holds 100 bullets.
Yeah, it secretly holds 100 bullets and shoots 3 to 5 round bursts.
The thing is badass.
Like, in all reality, with the clip size of that thing, you could probably fire it twice, maybe 3 times, and then have to reload.
Right.
It's like minimum. 1, 2, 3, reload. 1, 2, 3, reload.
Yeah, even with the size of that thing. Later,
what is that? In the fucking cocaine scene, he shoots up like 30 motherfuckers with that thing.
He shoots all place up by reloading once. Later, when Ann Lewis is holding, he's like, I got your gun. It's the size of her arm.
Yeah.
It's a giant gun. Even then, it would still, yes, you have to reload it every 3 times you pull the trigger.
At least.
And even at the end, he does display semi-automatic capabilities when he goes gives it a couple like pop to cut the target. But yes, for real though,
it's burst fire.
The look of the gun, like all
so badass,
all time maybe like best
one of
sci-fi
the,
movie gun ever.
Well, I think the maybe reason why him. Is because it's not so sci-fi. It just looks like a badass fucking.
It looks gigantic, and it comes with a cool thigh inside thigh.
Well, and
gun holster
and the whole thing with guns being like penises. So the bigger the gun,
that's true, but.
And he's got the biggest fucking gun in the entire building,
that's
Chris.
That's the biggest gun. My 2 favorite guns, that gun and the Ford's Blade Runner gun. They made a good one for Gosling. His gun is a cool update of the, what's that thing called? It's got a very specific name. We're not talking about Blade Runner. We're talking about
RoboCop.
Yes, I understand. He needs a car. Right, is what Bob Morton says.
He just puts his hands up. Somebody throws him fucking keys.
Well, Sarge is throwing keys to Bob for some reason.
Thank you.
He grabs it. Thank you. And then Bob's like, yeah, you go get him, boy. Bad motherfucker.
Oh, yeah, dude. First night on patrol, I mean.
Oh, man. Bob Moore, he went home and did so much cocaine that night and jacked off. Thinking about what RoboCop was going to do. And then great montage of RoboCop brutally exacting justice.
Yes.
We get the convenience store.
Oh, well, actually, right before he goes on all that, when he puts the gun away, he does the gun twirl.
And Lewis
notices and is like,
huh.
Oh,
I lost a partner. We gained a car. Interesting timing. Yes, that is very, very good to point that out. Convenience store robbery is great.
Yeah.
I feel like if we were going to make this movie today, I could play this part, this guy.
The dude with a fully automatic rifle robbing like $20 from an old couple.
Yeah. He kicks the safe. He's like, he knows where the safe is. He's been scouting the place. He's not a complete dummy. He just can't afford a razor.
And I love the way RoboCop enters the convenience store because he does both doors just pop open.
Yeah.
And he's got this weird pink neon behind him. And he's just like, I am RoboCop.
Probably the most 80s yes. shot of the movie. Yes,
100%.
And then the soundtrack gives us great. And I was like, is that in the movie? Like, does he make that sound when he walks into a room for intimate? It's like the lion so. Version of yeah, Ed 209. Yeah. I walk into a room and go. stops the robbery. Great. The dude tries running away. He does a clothesline to him. He also helps to destroy the store when he throws him into the
cooler.
He doesn't have to do any of that. He can just like. Bop him on the top of the head like Three Stooges style.
And that'd be the end.
You could kill a person that way.
I'd say probably compress a couple spinal cords and call it a day.
You could easily find a way to just make the man a quadriplegic and then he could become a ward of the state for the rest of his short life. But no, he's going to throw him face first through. That's a go-to move of his.
I mean, come on, Verhoeven.
You know what? It's also very fascist.
Yes.
Which is... We can all.
Which he works on that too.
We can all understand fascism.
Yes, we can, especially these days.
He stops a rape.
Yes, he does. Right, shoots a dude in the dick.
Shoots him right in the dick.
Right,
the classic shot. Classic scene.
Through her legs, right through the dress, into his dick.
Into his dick. Weird bit where they're talking about it. They're like, oh, look, you have hair. Oh, baby's got more hair down there.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, this is so creepy.
Well, and in the beginning, she's like, you can take all my money. She's like, we don't want your money.
Yes, it's like, that sucks. And then it's happening under a big Delta City sign that says something about the future. Mm-hmm. Did they write down what the tagline is about the future? I don't think I did. And stops a rape. Like you said, targets. You get a great bit. You know what his targeting is capable of doing. Like you said,
right in the dick.
Does the other guy just run away? What does he do? The other guy. The other guy just runs away. Smart guy. Dude, smart. She runs up to him to hug him. Thank you. This is funny. Where she's like trying to hug him.
And like trying to show human emotion.
And he's incapable.
Yeah.
Because he's a RoboCop.
I have notified the nearest rape center of your sexual assault.
Yes. You are in shock. And then you see her. She registers like, oh, this is not a human.
Mm-hmm.
Great. And then we get the hostage situation, which is fantastic. A former city councilman of some type is demanding a recount, and no matter what the outcome is,
he wants to win.
He wants his job.
And this
back.
Is where we first hear about the 6,000 SUX. He's like, I want a car! Yeah. A nice one with leather recliner seats! He's like, we got the 6,000 SUX!
He's like, I want that. He's like, yeah. He's like, I want cruise control and with really shitty gas mileage. And then he says, 6,000 SUX. Robo shows up.
This is where we get the thermograph.
Yeah, he's like, keep him talking, walks inside, does a thermograph so he can see what's going on.
So he can pull the dude through the wall.
Because the guy's like, I'm going to kill him. Like, that's it, you're fucking with me, I'm going to shoot him. Robo, just in time.
Pulls him through the wall and then punches him through a second story window onto the concrete.
Goodness gracious, so amazing. so great, so over the top.
Yeah, you think you pull a guy through a wall and then punch him out a second story window?
And then, again, with him, part of his justice program involves breaking glass.
Yes.
Putting people through glass or somewhere. Or those punches.
They must go through glass.
Awesome shot of the guys falling out the window, and then it cuts to, you don't see him anymore, but you see the camera people, and they follow the body all the way to the ground. And then it cuts from that to a newscast, back to newscast.
We're here about the Mexican crisis. Apparently there's a war in Mexico.
Nice.
And someone has just invented Acapulco.
Acapulco, big hotspot in 80s movies, man. That is a fun name to say, I guess.
And then it's the commercial for the Nukem game.
Nukem, this is, yes.
It's basically a battleship. With, nuclear warheads.
With nuclear warheads. And then the bit on RoboCop. Who is he? What is he? I got that. With the Mexican Nationals. It's so strange. The Nukem commercial. And, then the news, that's more Delta City stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we predict with RoboCop, we predict the end of crime
in 40 days.
40 days. What is this, The Purge? Great. Back to the corporate stuff. Morton's been made VP.
Yeah.
So now he's right under Dick Jones, who's senior VP.
Yeah, Bobby's right under Dick.
Bob is just under that dick. Going to the bathroom, that's when we get the swipe card detail.
Stock markers in the bathroom, and there's a TV in there.
Which is very awesome in the 80s. When I was like 10 watching this movie, I'm like, oh yeah, this is what I want to achieve.
That's high class.
This is it. You know, a bathroom you swipe into. Great scene. He's talking shit about Dick Jones. Like the old man, blah, blah, blah. He's lost his touch. He's a dinosaur. Talking all this shit. But then you know what's going on. Because first you get that shot of like feet.
Yep. And you're like,
in a stall. So we know. We've seen movies before. We know what's going on. And then the people in the background, they're like, one guy's like, he grabs two other guys. Like, go, 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 go. And then they run out. Great background work going on. Dick Jones comes out. The dude who Bob is talking to
pisses himself and gets the fuck out of there.
He's like, oh, I gotta go. And then great, great close up, very visceral close up of his pee stained pants. Paul Verhoeven insists on him doing it for real. He's like, you must piss for real. We must smell it in the movie.
Okay.
So, all right, Paul, you're the one that's paying for the for this scene. I wrote this down. Dick calls RoboCop both a bastard creation and an unholy monster. So he really does not like the ethics of the RoboCop program.
Yeah, no, but we also get this great Dick line about, I used to talk to him. I remember when me and my boys used to be rapscallions and make fun of the old man.
Yeah.
We called him Iron Butt.
Iron Butt.
Boner. What? Boner.
Boner.
And even...
One time.
Asshole.
He says, one time. Asshole. It's so absurd. Iron Butt and Boner. Dick Jones, you dumb old man.
He is.
You are really, a dinosaur.
Yeah, he is. He's a dinosaur.
Bob is right. You are a dinosaur. Yep. Iron Butt. But then he does a weird thing where he's like, you just fucked with the wrong guy. Where he sort of like is caressing his hair for a second.
At the same time, yeah.
And then he grabs it tight. And it's like, what are you trying to do here? It's like, what are you up to?
You fucked up, Miguel.
You just fucked with the wrong guy. So what, are you a fucking psycho or whatever? He pushes him off.
Yeah, he is.
Obviously he is. You don't get to be senior VP of Omni Consumer Products without being a bit of a psycho. All right, Robo. He's back in his chair. When you're at rest, you will sit in your chair. Yes, I understand. He's just having his dreams of being a man.
Mm-hmm.
Of his former life.
Clips of his memories.
His son watching TJ Laser, and they kept doing this weird tease that amounts to nothing of his wife. They're trying to set up drama that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Of his wife, he gets the memory twice. The first time. I really need to tell you.
Yeah, and you're like, what is it?
Oh my God, are they getting a divorce?
I
love you so much. Right, which we hear so in my lame. Pink bathroom. It's really dumb. I have a couple issues with the scene coming up, actually. But again, it's something you don't really think about until you stop to think about it.
Yeah.
Or you don't notice until you stop to think about it. So he has the nightmare, he's scientists twitching. Are not paying attention.
Not at all.
They're reading, talking about some bullshit. The cool shot of what's that thing? What do you call it? Seismograph, sort of.
It's reading his brainwaves.
Yes, it's reading his brainwaves, and it's giving you a live printout. Right. It's going crazy. And then it times out with he remembers the murder. He gets shot. And
he remembers Clarence.
Remembers that I was a man who was murdered. And that's when it's like the thing is going crazy, and then it stops, and it gives you like a flat line. He stands up.
Yeah, he gets shot a couple. He feels like he that does the shot. Recreation.
Yeah, he does recreation. He jerks around the chair. Great body work from Weller. That suit must have been a pain in the ass to wear.
Oh, God.
Right?
Well, I mean...
Terrible to wear.
I understand why he walked like a robot in that movie, because I'm sure he had no choice. That was all the range of motion he had in that piece of shit. It
was. I think it must have been brutal. How do you pee in that thing?
Oh, you don't?
At least his face is exposed.
Yeah.
You know, that's one thing.
Well, I mean, if there's one thing we learned from movie magic, Chris, I believe it was Goldfinger.
Goldfinger.
Because they painted the lady all the way gold?
Yes.
So here's the thing.
You need a patch.
Exactly. At that point in time, they found out that skin breathes just like everything else. And if you cover it all up, then you might
suffocate.
Die. Yeah. So.
Yeah, you could suffocate that
so
way.
At that point in time, I'm sure they had a patch of skin.
Paint you completely in gold. She's suffocated.
Mm-hmm. Things you learn from movies.
New movies can change lives. Mm-hmm. Sharks are dangerous. Don't paint yourself fully in gold.
Don't go in the water.
Don't go in the water. Don't paint yourself in gold. You'll be fine.
Yeah, everything's good.
And then you're good to go.
Yeah. And don't be the black guy. Because you die first.
Definitely don't be a black guy. Unless you're Wesley Snipes, in which case, be a black guy.
So these are the things movies talk about.
These are things movies teach us. Thank you, movies. This is my church. RoboCop wakes up, gets out of the chair. Science is all freaking out. Like, what? They're trying to read all the shit. Lewis sees him in the hallway.
He's like, Murphy.
Murphy, it's you.
Yeah, Murphy, it's you. And he's like, what?
Yeah, because he's like, we haven't had a chance to introduce. I'm Officer Lewis. Seeing if it comes naturally, and he stops her saying, and he's like, "How can I help you, Officer Lewis?" And he goes, "Murphy, it's you." And he backs up. He's like all freaked out. And then what does he say? Some weird like, "There's a crime. there's crime to be stopped or something, yeah. And it goes off.
Well, it's because we know he's going off Clarence.
Oh, he's doing something very specific.
He's doing his thing.
He ain't just going to Rome.
He's doing that RoboCop thing.
And he's going to go do a RoboCop thing for a specific purpose. Mm-hmm. Morton yells at Sarge and Lewis and gives him this whole, this is above your pay grade.
Yeah.
He grabs his arm and he's like, don't fuck with us, blah, blah, blah. Lewis is like, sorry, Sarge.
Remember, Chris, he has no name. He's a program. He's a product.
Yes.
He's a project.
Yes, there you go. He's a project. He has no interest in the humanity of RoboCop, of Murphy. There is no Murphy.
No, there's no Murphy. There's only a product.
There is only RoboCop, a product. Gas station. Emil shows up to gas up his bike and harass a poor guy who's working while he studies.
With an Uzi with an extended clip.
Man.
Just like, yo, I got this Uzi. Give me some fucking gas.
Man, these damn guns. Give me some gas. Well, first he robs him, but then he's like, fill me up. Fill it up. Robo's just rolling around, sees it happen in the distance, yep. Drives down there. Whole great scene where he goes to stop it. Emil does the... He says, dead or alive, you're coming with me. This is where he goes, dead or alive, you're coming with me.
And that's what Emil's like.
He's like, I know you.
Wait a second.
You're dead. We killed you.
You're dead. He says that so many times.
Yeah, he says it over and over. And then Robo immediately replays it on his screen, yeah. on his playback.
And he kind of fizzles out for a second.
Yeah, because his memories...
He's hesitating.
His memories are fucking up. So Emil pulls away, leaking gas everywhere.
Yep.
Flicks a cigarette. No one was going on. He flicks a cigarette, drives off.
Biggest fucking goddamn explosion for no reason I've ever seen in a movie.
This is the first of one, two, at least three times where I write explosion with exclamation points.
No, RoboCop hesitates, blows up gas station.
Yes. Great shot of him. Like, he snaps out of it and tries to react just as it explodes around him.
And he's just walking in front of a giant, and everybody looks cool walking in front of an explosion.
It looks so awesome. Great. He shoots at Emil, shoots on his bike. Great shot of a stuntman crashing his bike into a car. Jesus.
That fucking hurt, dude.
That was a John
that really
Wick,
hurt.
Like, Raid Redemption level of stunnitude.
That dude probably broke his shoulder.
I think they shot that somewhere in, like, Eastern Europe to get away with certain union rules.
Yeah, more than likely.
We will shoot this one part of the shot in Czechoslovakia.
Do I ask why?
All right, this is when RoboCop, then he has a meal. He has his, we know you, we killed you, right? He pulls him, who are you? Takes that information, goes to this crazy, what is this?
It's
server farm.
Yeah, it's exactly. It is a 1980s computer server farm.
But it's one for the police.
Yeah.
It's all cops there.
Yep.
It's crazy looking.
Yes.
And he goes,
it's the future, Chris.
He goes in there, cops are trying to stop. What are you doing? He takes out his data stick, the spike, and it's like flipping you off, data stick, sticks it into the computer. It's like, he's accessing the police records.
Yep, the known aliases. He finds out Murphy's dead.
Which is a great sequence of scenes. He pulls up Emil. He does known aliases. He sees everyone. Clarence. We see all the characters we recognize. Murder, 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 murder. Alex Murphy clicks on that. Murphy, it's you. Clicks on that.
And then he gets the address. He
gets his address. It says, it's a weird how. Why? Who wrote this program? That by the way, first I want the police officer's picture to pull up. Then I want his bio to pull up. And then if he's dead, I wanted to, after a few seconds, in one letter at a time, go DECEASED, deceased.
Who decided that?
Who decided that?
The director, Chris.
Oh, okay, there we go.
That is Paul Verhoeven. That is who.
It's like, we make this very dramatic. People will not think about it too hard in the future.
Exactly.
He gets his information. He goes to 548 Primrose Lane.
Yep.
And that weird. Okay, so. First off.
Are you talking about the virtual sales agent?
Virtual sales agent. I get it. That's fine. That's cool. We sort of do that now.
The weird. So, a sales agent's been there.
Yes. Yes. True. Keep going down this road. Keep going down this road.
But there are weird dead flowers that have been there for months in the living room. And then when we get to the kitchen. A, more dead flowers,
yes.
And B, weird burnt remnants from Murphy's life?
From his life. They cleaned up everything except they left a couple pieces of furniture covered in blankets, the broken, like, world's greatest dad mug strategically placed on the counter, burnt books. Why was there? Was there a fire?
They cleaned up everything else with the fire because the place is white and fucking beautiful.
But then they put the debris back.
Yeah.
Like, this, maybe we should put this back in case they want to come back to claim it. maybe they want this book.
Okay, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
Yes.
Where I was like,
this is so strange.
Like, I'm already suspending a lot of disbelief here, guys.
Yeah. Yes, no, that bothered me. Why is there burnt pages, burnt debris, ? I wrote down here. Yes. So he goes through it. He sees the TJ laser. He sees the, I have something to tell you I love. He gets all these memories. And then he's like, fuck, this was my life. This is what it was. And it was taken from me. I'm mad. So at the end, he's all like looking around, pissed off. Punches the video presentation. Yep. Also great how we ain't even touched on the score. I love, love, love the score. It's so amazing to the point where I looked up the guy's name, the composer. This guy has more,
and he has
like truly iconic shit. He's only done a couple things that is like really, truly iconic. Like I feel like, I don't know, maybe one of these guys that fell through the cracks somehow. Brad something or other. He's amazing. I like how it builds up, and then it builds up to like his theme, but it's a very grandiose version, kind of a darker version. Punches the screen, goes to the nightclub.
Yes, where he's going to arrest Leon Nash.
Yes, he's
going
to, oh, Ray Wise. Like, home for you, Ray. Couple funny bits in this. First, when he knocks Ray's gun away.
Yep. And some dude just catches it and like keeps dancing, like, yeah.
Like, what? That's ridiculous.
Cool.
That's insane. And then, I love how
he tries to kick him in the balls.
Tries to kick him in the balls. He probably breaks his foot. And then a cool looking, I mean, I wonder how they did this. Another cool looking, probably easy stunt, but he grabs him by the hair. And
drags him away.
And he drags him away. And like, that's the actor. So there's no way he's actually dragging him by the hair. I don't even think he's like holding onto his hand as he drags him. They're doing something. There's a rigging in there somewhere to make it easier. But it looked really cool. Yeah. That's a funny scene. And then like everyone's just dancing around. Like, there's no big deal. He pulls him away. People just fill in the empty space there. Like, all right, RoboCop showed up and we're all good, man. This is a crazy 80s club.
Smash Cut 2.
Bob. Are these
with his smart hookers and blow?
No, are they hookers or I thought they were hookers.
He said hooker. I'm pretty sure in the previous scene he's like, I have he said he was doing something tonight with like he's like
he said, does he say models?
He did say models.
What makes me question what kind of money, if there's money play here, or if they're attracted to his cocaine and power is because that's a kind of important difference. At the end, when the redhead is leaving, when they get kicked out, bitches leave, she's like, Bob, are you going to call me?
No, I guess they are.
So it makes it seem like there's a little more than
they're just dumb models then.
I think they're just dumb
models. And they're for the drugs.
And for drugs and the power. And maybe the, you know, the hobnob with people who then can get them real modeling jobs. But great scene, obviously, as a 10-year-old. Very important to me, you know.
To do cocaine with Miguel Ferrar.
To learn how to do that. I have to learn how to do cocaine with Miguel Ferrar. That's obviously the thing that I drew the most from the scene. Yes. Not the breasts.
Nope.
Not the women.
Nope.
The cocaine and Miguel Ferrar.
Mm-hmm. We know where your mind's at.
Doorbell rings. He's like, those are the... Oh, you know what? There's a shot of the coke on the table. All the everything on the table real quick. Yeah. There are also pipes on the table. I never noticed that before.
Interesting.
There are glass pipes on the table.
Because they don't smoke anything.
They don't show them smoking. They've only shown them doing a couple of lines. But they've been partying.
But it's quote-unquote drug paraphernalia.
There are glass pipes on the table. They freebase some of that shit. When they want to get there fast.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
They're freebasing it.
That's how you get there faster.
He says, I love intelligent women. Smart is so sexy.
Yeah, like and I
love smart intelligent hookers. Women, too. I love them, too. Yeah, you did say smart hookers. Doorbell rings. It's like, oh, that's probably the champagne. Goes to answer it. Clarence Boddicker.
Mm,
really
good. Yes.
Clarence with a gun.
Yep.
Bitches leave. Another great line. Shoots Bob in the legs.
And then
puts him down.
Plays a video.
Another great wall of technology.
TV screens.
Yes, yeah. TV screens, like, look like record players. I bet you had more than one of those, like, cassette-to-cassette recorders. I guarantee you he did.
Definitely.
When you're that rich in the 80s.
I guarantee you there's at least three laser disc players on there.
Reel-to-reels. There's, everything that's available at the time. It's up on this wall. Somehow, Clarence, first time in this house ever, walks in, knows exactly where to slip this
everything.
Little
yep.
disc. To play, it pops up on the screens. Here's Dick Jones. I'm cashing you out,
Bob.
Great
and then
line.
Everything explodes.
He puts the. I like how Clarence
pulls the
pin with his tongue.
Well, this is also where Clarence dips his fingers in the cocaine and does a little sniff. He goes,
yeah, he's a smart guy. He knows when he's.
If I was Clarence, I'd have been. I would have just like And where's the bag? Because that's coming with me.
Well, I mean,
if I'm blowing up the house, you don't. I mean, if you
why leave it all behind?
You're killing a guy. Why leave the drugs behind?
Probably because he already has access to the drugs anyway. He probably has like a whole vial of it in his pocket and more in his car and more at home.
Yeah, but you
can
just
see something that's out there. He's like, I'm gonna go ahead and do another bump now. I can save the bump I have saved for later.
I'm just should have taken it more with him. If I was Clarence, that's all I'm saying.
Later, he takes a stroll through a cocaine factory.
Where everything's in very nice little fucking like medical glass bottles. And that is not the way I've ever seen cocaine.
They have a great setup there. Like, where are they? They're confident enough to just set this up. And no one's going to show up here.
Nope.
This is crazy. Bob with the hooker is blow scene. I'm cashing him out, Bob.
Kaboom.
Explosion. Yes. Gigantic, amazing explosion.
And then, smash cut. There we go, Chris. Straight to cocaine factory.
Drug factory. We got the great negotiation where they're walking around. And he dips his fingers in the dude's wine and does a sniff. He takes a drink. They're going back and forth. He's like, Bobby, you blow this cock, took his head off. And he says some shit to him. Everyone's got guns out. And Clarence Boddicker does this great. He's like, guns, guns, guns. He's so excited. And he's like, come on. It's like, let's make a deal. The Tigers are playing tonight.
I never miss a game.
I never miss a game. That's right. Like, oh, Clarence, I know you're a baseball fan. That makes me like him so much more. We could do coke and watch the Tigers together.
Yes.
And this is the 80s Tigers. They're bad. Well, I guess they have.
Well, this is future 80s.
Yeah, Prince Fielder. Oh, so yeah, Prince Fielder Jr. maybe. Robo bust in, right? And he says, you're all under arrest. And this is when the Asian dude in the gang goes, fuck you. And they just,
everybody starts firing.
Oh, they all start firing on him.
RoboCop's bulletproof, so doesn't fucking matter.
He's a robot man. Also, no one manages to shoot him in that little square of his exposed lower face.
And apparently they don't have the same guns that tear him to shreds later.
The Cobra assault.
No, not the big ones,
Oh, you mean in the parking garage?
Yeah, because later he gets shot to shit.
He gets pretty fucked up in the parking
garage. And those are just regular bullets, too. I don't know why he doesn't. Same thing doesn't happen here.
That's true. I guess they don't have as strong guns as the police, as the OCP police. OCP, they practically are the military, as Dick Jones would say later. Also, I like when he's breaking into doom. He's hitting the door, doom, and the front door is like so. It's like made out of rubber.
Yeah.
It's like flexes.
It's like, man, you gotta hit.
It's cute.
Keep hitting it.
Keep it. Hit it harder so it doesn't look so fake. It's like doom, doom. Also, cocaine, when they start shooting, all the cocaine immediately goes up into the air. Immediately, the place is just dusted.
Yes.
And then he's very cocky. He's shooting out like. Hands to the side. No look shots.
Yeah, the no look shot is good. We're sitting there and he's.
Yeah. Every time he takes a step, he's like, kill this guy. Now kill this guy.
And now this guy. And now this guy.
He's having fun.
He has the unlimited clip.
Which is probably not a good thing to have a RoboCop who has fun doing his job.
I mean, I don't know. If he's high on. Imagine a RoboCop high on cocaine. He probably was. All that coke in the
air. He probably was. That's why ends up throwing Clarence all the way. So he leaves Clarence for last.
Yeah.
He throws him through some glass. Clarence tries to get himself arrested, and Robo reads him his rights. Very smart.
You're wondering if RoboCop's going to kill him, and then he says, "Aren't you a cop, right?" And then RoboCop like it kind of reboots in his head. They're like, "Oh wait."
Director 3 kicks up on his screen. But before that, though, when he's reading his rights, he does go, "Anything you say can be used against you." Throws him through some glass, and then on the heads up display, it starts recording. So he has to say that first, and then he can start recording. That's when he's like, I work for Dick Jones. Dick Jones owns... He works for OCP. OCP owns the cops. You're a cop.
Yep.
Then he says, you're a cop. Director 3 kicks in. Uphold the law. Uphold the law. Yes, I understand. So he arrests him.
Yep.
Takes him down to the precinct. Again, now we're back to the cops arguing about being underfunded, and we're getting killed out there. Talking about strike. He throws Boddicker on the table in front of Sarge. And he's like, what's the charge? He's a cop killer. Great shot of Clarence.
Spits blood right out of the thing. I was like, give me my phone call.
Give me my fucking phone call. His face is all cut up. And then Sarge threw a great shot of him like being just disgusted. Like, oh, fuck.
Yep.
Like, God damn it. I got to clean this shit up. Let's talk about the union strike vote. RoboCop goes to OCP, replaned. I work for Dick Jones.
Because he's like, time to arrest Dick.
Time to go arrest Dick. Book him. He's a cop killer. You look at that that GPS thing that Dick Jones was using.
Oh, you mean the... So it looks like a box?
Yeah.
With painted lines on it.
With red lines on it.
And one yellow light bulb in the middle that doesn't move.
Because the lines are moving around it, the bulb stays the same. And then it's just nothing's labeled.
Nope.
So unless you know the exact map, unless you know the layout of the city.
Which obviously he does. Duh.
Duh. He's building it around the south of the city. So he's looking at this terrible GPS. Very smugly, like, oh, here he comes. He's coming. I know he's coming for me. Product violation.
Yes.
That's fucked up. He goes to arrest them. You're under arrest. He's like, well, then you better come arrest me. And then the director four kicks
secret
in.
Yeah, we find it. It's now unclassified.
Unclassified.
They cannot arrest OCP management.
He tells him, he's like, I put it in myself.
Because I know I'm a dirty motherfucker, and I don't want to get arrested by you.
He reveals to Ed 209.
Yep.
Who's behind a wall.
Oh, that's what it was. It was the Ed that fucked him up. Ed's got bigger caliber
the
bullets.
Ed does fuck him up. Yeah,
that's what
blows the hole in his...
And his chest, too, yeah. And in his head, so yeah.
So there you go. That's
there
what
we go.
And then Dick does the whole, I had to kill Bob Morton because he made a mistake.
Yep.
Now it's time to erase that mistake. Ed 209 is unleashed. They have a cool little fight. RoboCop takes his one arm and makes him shoot himself.
Yep.
Get to the thing where now we discover Ed 209's true kryptonite. Stairs.
Yes. Cannot go downstairs.
Can't even fathom how to negotiate stairs.
Nope.
All this design, all this work. You can go upstairs, apparently.
No, not down them.
Or at least take the freight elevator.
Yeah.
But you can't go downstairs. Funny shot of it, like... it's like pawing at the stairs. It's trying to... It's like, let me see if I can maybe...
I don't trust this.
Takes a step, falls down, squeals like a pig.
Yep.
While it's on specs. I think if it ever...
Once again, Verhoeven.
The scientists are like, if it ever falls on its back...
It should squeal like a piggy.
So that we know it's it's in danger. And we can come get it. So he gets out of there, but he gets to the parking garage. Ton of cops there. Because OCP tips him off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, the whole...
Man, he gets fucking shot to shit.
Yeah, and then some cops are like, you can't... He's a cop. So some
cops... Lewis.
A handful are on his side. Well, no, Lewis is in a cop car a few levels
below.
Oh,
you're right.
Some other cops are like, he's still a cop.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do this. They're like, nope, we have our orders, so they open fire. Weird how he's getting shot in the middle. There's a whole line of cops, right? All around him, like the glass on both sides of him gets blown out. Who are those cops? Who's taking those shots that they're not even within 10 feet?
Well, I mean, he is bulletproof, so maybe that's ricochet.
Okay, you explained that one away. Thank you, Mr. Cogburn.
I said maybe.
No, that's fine. I'll take it. Come on, it's called RoboCop. I'll take anything you can give me at this point. I like how he's getting shot. He's walking backwards. Again, a slowed down version of the theme song.
But he does the smart thing where he's covering his fleshy parts this time.
He is covering his face as he backs up because it's his only vulnerable spot. And he drops down and he does that cool like side to side between the levels so he can drop down a few levels. Just happens to plop right in front of Lewis's car. Lewis gets him.
Get in.
Drives him away. Newscast.
Ah, the space laser that misfires, killing 113 people, including two ex-US presidents. What? What does that have to do with anything?
What a weird detail.
What does that have to do with anything? Which is one of the main reasons why I wrote it down like that. Because it's like, this is so oddly specific.
That is truly insane. That is truly insane. And then this, I wrote it down, is where you get your 6,000 XUX commercial.
Okay.
So they referenced it earlier. They set you up. How about the 6,000 SUX? And now you get to see it.
The 6,000.
The 6,000 sucks. Like, oh, SUX.
I get what you're doing, Paul.
I get it now. Clarence goes and visits Dick Jones.
Yes.
One shot of him wearing a suit where he's like, I'm dressed up for this meeting. Talks to the secretary, leaves a gum on her nameplate. His attitude this whole time is fantastic. Talk about how they cut a deal together. He's like, listen, I don't have to deal. Exactly. I don't have to clean up your shit.
This is when we, the audience, get their backstory.
Yeah, we find out that they're working together. He's like, you created this monster. It's not on me to fix it. Dick's like, look, if you fix it, we got 2 million workers coming. Not the first time they mentioned. 2 million specifically. We got 2 million workers coming. They're going to need prostitutes, drugs. They're going to need all devices. You can be controlling all of it. That's the whole point of his meeting with the cocaine guys before. It was all about trying to fight for control of the market and everything. It's like, you can control all of it. I'll let you control Delta City crime. So Clarence's like, I'm in. It's like, I need military. I need military weapons.
Not a problem.
It's like, we practically are the military, right? So yeah, that sets up all out right there. Then Lewis brings food to Robo at the old mill. So this is where we get great shots of RoboCop where he takes his...
he finally takes his mask off. We get his full face. They have a little heart-to-heart where she recalibrates him how to shoot.
Yes.
He blows up the baby food.
They're shooting the baby right in the face. That comes after, though. The shooting the baby in the face. First, he looks at himself shiny, like a mirror.
Yeah.
And she like goes to comfort him. And he's like, leave me alone. And it's like,
oh, I'm a robot.
I'm a robot. I'm sad. Leave me alone. Cuts to riots in the streets. The police are on strike.
Oh, yeah. The gang gets back together out of getting out of jail.
Apparently, Leon and Emil both released from jail. Is that part of the strike? Or did I think OCP did that.
Guaranteed.
Right? Yeah. They just let me out. They saw Clarence at 6,000 SUX. Laughing man is like, I got one too, baby.
And that's when Clarence blows it up. Still got
the sticker on him. So Clarence shows him the guns.
New guns. It's basically
the Cobra assault rifles. So
for being an assault rifle, it looks a lot like...
It's a 50 cal?
It looks like a 50 cal sniper rifle with some sort of digital box on top to make it look future.
Yes. Yeah, they made it future. They did make it future.
Even though they never used the box. You know what it looks like? It looks like the same guns that Arnold Schwarzenegger was double welding at the end. What was that stupid movie with him and...
Eraser.
Yes.
Those crazy box guns.
It looks like those.
Yes.
It looks exactly like those.
They do look like those crazy, except better.
Yes.
Somehow better than those, which came out later. A lot of stuff happened in this scene, actually. Emil's watching. He's doing a thing where... I only see this in movies now, where people are watching stuff...
On TV, on TVs, through glasses.
Yeah, in a store display.
That's
an old
school.
That's an old convention.
That's what it is. Chris.
When people used to do that stuff in the 50s and 60s.
It's because not everybody had TVs.
But in movies, that got kept up through the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
So Emil's,
which is weird.
Emil's watching, I'll buy that for $1, that guy again. Yeah. Which is really stuck through into the lexicon. They give him the guns. Emil blows up a store. He's like, I like it. Which is really funny. Clarence blows up the dude's car. He's like, oh, man. I just stole that thing. All right, here's our mission. We had fun. We're going to go kill RoboCop.
On to the final fight, Chris.
And then he pulls out the same, like, tracker thing.
Yeah. He's like,
with no label on it.
Nope.
He's at the old mill. He's at the steel mill. Let's go. Like, how does he know he's at the steel mill?
Because he knows.
It's not Google Maps. Robot.
It's Google Psychic Maps.
Google Psychic Maps. Robo fixes his targeting with Lewis, helps him out, gets it all back together. Bad guys show up. Immediately, the RoboCop, they're waiting for him, they're ready. Immediately, RoboCop, well, first he throws, like, something.
Yeah.
So they turn around. Emil's driving a van behind them. The others are out walking in front. He throws something, so they turn around and use their guns, blow shit up. And then he gets her. Then he's like, hey, it's, like, over here. Look, guys. Yeah. Oh, I'm up here, actually. And when they turn around, he immediately shoots Black Dude glasses.
Done. Gone.
Immediately. Like, damn, dude. He ain't getting nothing. And then they're running around, right? He's pretty nimble at this part. He's running around. Emil's driving around. He pops out, RoboCop, and Emil's driving. He sees him. He's like, I'm going to run him down. And Emil, RoboCop turns out of the way. He shoots.
And shoots. And then Emil goes into the toxic waste where he becomes a Emil monster.
Yes, dude.
At the time.
What an effect.
One of the scariest things I'd ever seen in my life. Because at that point in time, I hadn't seen the thing.
Yeah,
at that point in time.
As a kid, so, that's the first bit of, like, horror I've ever seen.
Body horror, yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
Oof. And it stuck with me. And watching it now, it's like, damn, this looks so good.
Now we know why, Chris. Same people who did the thing.
It's the same thing, but it's like the meltiness and the way Zach is like, oh.
The body horror.
He's doing a really good job. He's already, like, a weird-looking guy.
He
is. And then to make, like, a melted version of him is cool.
And then he gets fucking run over and explodes.
So Clarence is driving around, hits Emil, explosion!
Yeah,
exclamation point. Great shot from the inside of the car of, like, all just covering the windshield. Oh, super gross. That's when they crash.
Yeah.
He crashes into the pit.
Yep.
Because the windshield's covered. Lewis pulls up behind him because she's been chasing the whole time in her car, chasing him. Pulls up at the edge of the pit, but when he gets out of the car, he pops her a couple times in the chest.
Pa-pow!
I mean, she's got her body armor, but
still,
puts her down. She falls down into the pit. RoboCop shows up, and he's like, what are you going to do, arrest me? He's like, I'm not arresting you anymore. Because now he's like fully...
And that's when we see...
He has his human emotions.
That's when we see Leon on the side.
Leon's climbing up into that awesome... all the way crane. Up there. The crane, yes. It's just holding a bunch of shit randomly.
Yep.
And he drops. That effect looks incredible. When he looks up and the shit's a wide shot of the stuff hitting, I guess. I don't know what that is.
It must have been a dummy.
A dummy? Like just a.
Like I'm sure what they did, they probably just made like a plastic mold and painted it well.
Off his suit?
Yeah, that way it could just get crushed.
And then, because it folds immediately, it immediately gets crushed and it just disappears from the shot. But from a distance, it looks so good. It looks like him.
Yeah.
It looks like Robocop. He's like, yeah, I got him. And Clarence is like, yeah. But
and
they don't see Lewis behind him.
With the big ass fucking gun, one shot, the whole building explodes.
Oh my God, blows up the whole thing. Another giant explosion. I wrote that down. Explosion. Murphy's still underneath the debris. He's like pinned. One arm is pinned. Yeah. He can't get up.
Yeah, he has to fight off Clarence.
Clarence comes over with a pole with a spike on it. He's batting at him a couple times. He turns it over, spikes him right in the chest.
Impales him,
yeah. Impales him really good. He's like, ah, makes a good screaming sound. But then Robo pulls out the old data spike. Spikes him right in the neck. When he pulls down the...
Oh, man. I wonder how many liters of blood. At one point in time...
That it came out immediately.
I saw... Three giant streams coming out of his neck.
So first there's, when I was younger, the thing that stuck with me was the blood hitting Robocop. Splat. But now watching, the thing that sticks with me is Clarence doing the whole, a very long death.
Yes.
He's grabbing his neck and then the long spurts of blood, like Takashi Miike levels of blood. I was like, awesome. Lewis is like, Murphy, I'm a mess. And he goes, they'll fix you.
It's okay.
They fix everything. Man, this movie just flies. This movie just flies to go. He goes to OCP. They got another meeting going on.
Well,
Dick Jones mentions we have an Ed 209 guarding the city, guarding the building right now. We have deployed all over the city.
Which is great because Robocop shows up and blows that thing to bits.
With the gun. Shows up with the awesome gun that they use to try to kill him. He's like, you have 10 seconds to comply. He pulls out the gun, shoots it immediately.
And we get that fun little wobble with just the torso at the end.
I love that shot. Oh my God, it's so fun. In the foreground, Murphy, he turns around, watches it, and then turns back around and walks away. This whole awesome scene where he shows up to arrest Dick Jones.
But can't.
He can't. His screen starts saying Directive 4. Then he explains to the old man. He's like, this is what's going on. He has the old man. This is a funny detail, too. Did you notice this? Because he grabs the old man for a hostage situation.
Yeah.
Where did that gun come from? It's the same gun from the Ed 209 demonstration. It's
still there.
It's still in the case in the room.
So there we go. So it's the room gun.
It's the room gun. It's the corporate.
It's the conference room gun.
That gun was not there for the Ed 209 demonstration.
No, it was. It's the conference room gun.
It is permanently installed in that conference room.
It's there.
Dick was like, you know what? We got that gun in the conference room.
Let's just keep it
there. Can just do the demonstration in the conference room. We'll bring the Ed-209 there. We already got the gun. Yeah. We're good to go. So he pulls the conference room gun. He's like, I want a helicopter. He starts making demands.
Yep.
And old man, very smart.
You're fired.
Dick, you're fired. Directive 4 shuts off. Thank you. He elbows him. Robocop shoots him. Goes through the window. Weird shot of his arms. He noticed.
I did.
It's like, it's very funny looking.
Because you want to know why? You want to know why?
Why?
Because that actor's not a stuntman.
He is not a stuntman. So they did some weird compositing to try to make it happen. But then they tried to like, well, we need to do something with his arms for perspective. And it's like, this isn't really. No, it's not working. Unfortunately, it's only a couple. And it's the end of the movie. Anyway.
Yeah, I was about to say. And then boom, Robocop.
Well, he's like, it's like, good shooting, son. What's your name?
He Murphy. Twirls the gun, Murphy. And Murphy. Then Robocop.
Robocop. But bum, bum, bum,
not
bum,
in cool bum, font anymore. Bum, bum, just regular font. Robocop.
It was just you're right. Just regular, not the like the brand font. No. It just said like Helvetica.
No. Exactly. It was not in Robocop font.
Also, this is really funny. The I actually rerounded to watch this. When Dick gets shot and he's about to go through the window, there's a wide shot of the conference room table.
The window shatters first before he goes through it.
Well, the window always shatters first. Noticeably? Way too soon?
A few milliseconds before it's supposed to.
Yeah. It's supposed to, but yeah.
I know.
Sometimes it's noticed when that happens. No, in the background, Johnson, the Go Robo, that guy.
Yeah.
When Dick gets shot, he stands up and he's like smiling. He's like, yeah. He's so happy.
He's happy.
He's so happy.
He didn't Dick like Jones. Dick.
Yeah, Dick is the worst. He's so happy. Yeah, he got shot and killed. Crashed through Robocop. Psh, dead. Dude, this movie is so much fun.
Yeah.
It's so enjoyable. It's such folly to be like, let's remake this thing. Let's do our own version of Robocop. Well, here's the thing, what a bad move that was.
And when they remake it, they always find the weirdest things to focus on in the remakes as opposed to the original.
They accidentally discard all the things that made it cool.
What is that? And they're like, we're gonna focus on the family relationship.
We're gonna make it a family relationship drama that includes some fun military stuff.
Oh, like, what the fuck does this have to do with anything?
We want crazy, violent satire. We want fascism for liberals.
Oh, is what this is. You know what we want? We want Paul Verhoeven.
We do want Paul Verhoeven.
That's what we want, Chris.
I do want Paul Verhoeven. That's true. But I want this Paul Verhoeven. I want this one and a Total Recall, Paul Verhoeven, and the...
And the Starship Troopers, Star
Trooper. We're going to have to do all those movies. We're going to have to talk about all of them now.
The Verhoeven-verse?
We're going to have to go through the Verhoeven-verse. At least for those movies. We can stop short at Showgirls.
Yeah, it was awful.
Anyway. It's still satire.
Yeah, it is. Just not that good.
It doesn't have a single...
And I'm pretty sure it killed two people's careers.
Berkeley
and Verhoeven.
He's still, yeah, he could always, you know, it's like, I'll go back to Europe. Berkeley's just like, fuck, that sucks.
Yeah.
Man, what a fun movie. I love RoboCop. Anything you want to throw out there about it? People should watch it.
I mean, yeah, watch the rated X for violence version because you get more squibs.
If you can find the unrated version, do that. You can just YouTube it too, I'm sure. Yeah. Show the differences. Scale 1 to 10. Originally, when I was a kid, I would give this movie a 10 out of 10.
Of course, because you were a kid.
Because I was a kid, and this movie was genius. Now, growing up, I'd give it, for sure, like 8.75.
I was about to say somewhere between 8 and 9. Yeah. It's, for being as dumb as it is, it's really smart.
Yes. For something being called RoboCop.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Well, I mean,
and if you're not sure how good it is, then watch the other ones.
And then you'll be like, oh yeah, this is really good.
Second one's written by Frank Miller, and you're still like, Nuke is fun, but it ain't no cocaine.
Nope.
They invents a whole new drug. It's like, man, you already got cocaine.
But cocaine's so great.
It's like, no, we got Nuke. Alright, well, that was our RoboCop episode.
That it was.
Yeah, that was. We did an hour and a half. Shorter than the movie.
Hey!
That's good.
There we go. Yeah, it'd be bad if it was longer than the movie.
That's gonna happen. When we play one of these short movies, it's gonna happen. You just wait and see. Yes, I understand. Alright, I'm gonna do that a lot now. Drew, thank you.
You're welcome, Chris.
Thank you, patrons. You guys are awesome. Hope you enjoyed this episode. If you have ideas for movies that you would like us to do that's around this time period, 80s, 90s, action movies, feel free to suggest them to us. And we'll take them into consideration. If you're a $5 tier guy, though... Then,
tell us what to do, we'll do it.
Tell us what to do, and we'll do it. All right, we're done.
PFT Media Production.